This program hasn't evolved in exactly the way we planned, but it's mostly that way, and we're pleased to have all of you here today. I'm sure that as the afternoon progresses, there'll be a greater and greater crowd of folks here, and we are having a reception for Jim and Jean, who's sitting by him now, his wife, after Jim makes some remarks and so forth. Now, we're having Joe Ritchie and Jim Jones type reception. There's not any beer and there's not any... We got soft drinks and chips coming. But the main thing is to meet Jim and Jean, to congratulate them. And as Ken said, we're going to have both of them around, as you've had me, after our retirement. But we're never sure how much, because some of our colleagues are falling. And so we don't have an assurance of that. And so I wanted us to take this time to honor a man who has made a difference in the world, a big difference. And for those of you who are not aware of that, I hope you become convinced and are motivated in your own careers to attempt to make a difference the way Jim has. Just now. Lots of us have traveled abroad, but these in red in the globe that we are in are all places where Jim's influence has been. He's been to all those places. He's had students from those places. He has held workshops for many people in those places. And so, just to begin with, think about the impact that he's had around the world. And so, I want to point out just a few of these things, and in the papers that are to follow, this will be emphasized in various ways by the people who've been invited to speak today. There could have been many more speakers that we could have, but these represent a good cross-section of the impact that Jim has had. So they're not just honoring Jim, they're taking us into the new technology that we have presently and into the future. I wanted to acknowledge that Cynthia Rosenzweig and Bruno Basso have been helpers with me in organizing this symposium, and we appreciate their help. Ken mentioned that Jim's beginning, in Florida at least, was with the building of Soygrow, which of course has lived up till today. And I just wanted to point out that, as I mentioned, as we get older, we won't last forever. It's important that this be carried on by the younger generation. And fortunately, at the University of Florida, where Jim and Ken have been teaching, there's always been courses that deal with crop modeling, decision support systems, agricultural systems. And the universities there, the administrators above them, have seen the wisdom in doing that. They've done their job in convincing them to do this. And therefore, lots of folks have been trained in crop modeling with the beginning of this one. And so the both teaching and research programs have been impacted in a major way by the establishment and beginning of a model like Soygrow. And now, there's a textbook that's used by most folks that are involved in crop modeling that just been published about 2 years ago. One of the senior author is here and going to give us a speech about it. But they have looked at many dimensions of working with dynamic crop models, testing them and various aspects of it. And to have a book that influences many other students and researchers than you can possibly go to with speeches and workshops is an impact that will certainly make a big difference. And Ken has mentioned the IBSNAT project. And I wanted to emphasize from my own perspective the important role that project played in getting us to where we are now. And of course, Jim's role in that. It was a project intended to be able to transfer technology from agronomic experiments to especially the developing worlds without having to go through a lot of cost-ineffective trial and error research that is mostly what has been done to obtain best practices in certain regions. And this got started by Wes Swindoll, who was in Hawaii in the early days. They had an international benchmark soils project. And they saw the world, everything evolved around the soil. We call that a pedocentric idea. But Goro got convinced that it was more than that, that the crops were involved. And I happened to be involved in modeling cirrus at the time. And we showed him how it would work with some of their data from the soils project. And he just came completely convinced that was the way to do the project. So he asked some of us that were having models like that to help. And I became the technical director for the project. And we immediately called on Jim because the idea was not just to model the crops, but be able to develop a system that would help you to use them, because it's difficult to just have the model and get all the information together and so forth. And we got him involved in that. But there are some others that were very important role in that. And one was Henry Nix from Australia, who taught us the very essence of simple modeling, and especially how to be able to go from a seed to a seed through using crop development, the principles of crop development, and especially how leaves appear in an orderly way and how we can deal with that. And then we knew that for this information to be useful in decision-making, it was necessary to have economics involved. And one of the leaders in that field was Barry Dent, who was a professor at the time in New Zealand. And one of his students was Phil Thornton, who's here. And Phil has been with us since he started that. And we have a lot of information that helps in decision making. I don't know how far we would be along in our stochastic dominance analysis of what's the best practice overall, not just 1 year, but overall, without the use of that good technology. And that's all built into DSAT to help with other things. So in my view, if you can say which is the biggest impact that made a difference, I believe it's this one that we're talking about. And as I mentioned, Daniel's going to speak a while about the system that was in the book. And Phil Thornton is here, and he's going to discuss social and economic dimensions of the DSAT system that is important. And the DSAT system has been taught in workshops for over 20 years, one to two each year, maybe more than that. At first, we paid people to come to them. Now, they come and pay a nice fee that helps to pay all expenses and so forth. And they come, and they have to be stopped because there's not enough room for them sometimes. And so that shows what the impact is. And all of these people go home to wherever they're doing, whatever their problems are, and use this. It's a useful system. And of course, we've used it in a lot in climate change that we're talking about a lot today. And that will be emphasized some by Cynthia Rosenzweig, who has speech at the end. The DSAT system that I've talked about, I intended to have my speech that I made there in that part, so I'll go on to the next one. This is one publication that's come out through the CG system, because the CG folks and the international research centers want to have systems analysis as a part of what they're doing, and especially in crop production. And so through IFPRI and these two folks that are listed there, both of whom have been here, they did a survey and sent it throughout especially the developing world, to what models do they know about, what models that are available. And probably because of all these workshops that the guys have held or something, there's 72 of them said they used DSAT, and actually four or five more said they were using either crop growers Sirius models, and so I put 77 there. And I didn't list any except those that had over three listed. And you can see these, especially that have systems decision support, are being used a lot throughout the world. And the DSAT model has certainly had its impact and is having it. This is that. I think this was actually the second workshop, but this one was held in Taiwan, and all these folks attended back in 1986. And for those that don't know, just have Gore O'Hara. This is him here. And he would be here, but he's quite ill. He can't be with us. But you see Jim in the middle of that, and the star of that show. This is one that was held in 2008. I don't have later photos, but this was held at the University of Georgia, where Garrett Hogenboom hosted the workshop. And these folks all paid a good price to go and visit that. That's how valuable it was to them. Right? And Gert's going to talk to us about it, because one thing that we have to be grateful for what he has contributed, is keeping this thing maintained. It's not easy to do, and also to make sure it stays in a good quality program. So we'll look forward to hearing from him. And then Jim, fortunately, was chosen to be a board of directors of the CGIAR system at CIOT in Colombia, and he worked very faithfully with them in making a difference as a member of the CGIAR board. He became the chairman of the board later on, and certainly elevated the notion of doing a systematic approach to crop production, and especially the crops that were associated with these centers. The Florida Climate Institute has been established for 2 or 3 years, 1 year. I have to ask questions. I had a person for a speech with this, but they got him in another session. Some of you heard it. Clyde Frice was to do that. And I can't give as much good information about this as he could, but this is shows a dimension of Jim that actually is part of all of those others, but that's how he promotes teamwork. And this Florida Climate Institute has major funding from the NOAA and probably other places. I don't know. He can tell us if he wants to, but I mean, you're talking in the millions that support this. It goes more than Florida, throughout the Southeast, and provides a good base of applying climate and information that we know about El Nino and La Nina to farmer problems. And they're really being used a lot by that center that's based in Florida. And Jim is now the head of it. But it has a lot of folks working, and there, I know it's the Florida State and Miami are both involved with their specialists in working in this climate institute. So it's a model for other states and regions of how we can take information that can be integrated in crop modeling and put into the other. And this is Cynthia that a lot of you know, but Jim and Cynthia have worked together since Cynthia finished her graduate work at Rutgers and later at Amherst, I believe. But she has been unquestionably the leader in America of getting agriculture and climate change emphasized in national studies. And we have appreciated her contribution, and she will be giving a speech. But she has organized this group, AgMIP, which you will hear about, but Ken alluded to it, is possibly his greatest significance, because he's a leader with Cynthia in that program along with some others. So there's a launching of the Florida Climate Institute, you can see in the background, and folks talking to the great Dr. Jim Jones. Like, this is how we're getting to start. Okay, I think that is that the right time, okay?
A little early?
Not like me.
You may have questions with him, but I'm not sure, quite sure how. You're not sure to challenge him necessarily.
Well, let's just keep moving.
No. Any questions or comments to ask to Joe about secret questions? Yes, John Porter.
Well, speaking from the European point of view, I would also like to offer my congratulations to you and thanks for the collaboration from the other side of the Atlantic over the years. I do remember meeting in a very pretty place in June. I remember once we had breakfast together in sort of really down and out cafe somewhere in Seattle, I think it was, or something like that. We had some really good talks, I think, and I appreciate very much your. And I think also from the European perspective, I appreciated your support and inspiration for getting these international projects together. I know it's a huge amount of work. And also, I think earlier, really, the collaboration we had on the GCTE, in the sense that was a forerunner of many of the things which are now going on, was on a much smaller scale, but I think it was definitely a forerunner, and you played a very active role on that. I always enjoyed the contributions and energy that came from our activities there. So on the other side of the Atlantic, I'd just like to say thank you as well.
Thank you, John.
Any other questions for Joe or comments?
Is there another man? Is there another man?
Yeah.
I think you can take another minute if you want.
Okay. He gave me another minute because John spoke up. John mentioned in his talk this morning a person that's made a big difference in our ability to start a plant from a seed and model how fast the leaves appear and that sort of thing. His name is Mike Kirby. He was with us in the early days of modeling wheat. He died about a year ago. John wrote a nice tribute to him in one of the international journals. But people like him who had the vision of doing that way back then made a big difference, because basically before these models we talked about were evaluated, most folks saw a system as just totally photosynthesis and what do you do with the photosynthate. And it ended up that the development is what really drove the models and gave us the ability to do this. And so he made a great contribution, and let me just say that John Hesketh in the U.S. also had a vision about this and worked on it a lot. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joe, for your presentation. Let's give a hand to Joe.